We're always thankful for your attendance. I need to say that. It's just I'm glad you recognize the value in attendance. There's a lesson that I speak about every so often. When Paul writes to the church in Rome, in those opening 8 verses, he says, "I long to see you, that I may impart unto you a spiritual gift." And then the next phrase, or just shortly after that phrase, he gives another one, "and that you may render unto me." So in assembly, there's something, it's not just me attending so I can deliver a message, but you give something back to me. And if you are absent, you cannot give, and I cannot give to you. I want to impress upon you who are already here, keep coming, not if you're ill, but keep coming, because there's a value in that. I think sometimes people ration with themselves, "Well, I don't have any part in the leadership of the congregation or this or that." And they may think, "Well, my attendance is diminished." And I want to say, no, it's not. There's always someone looking for you. There's someone who has an expectation of seeing you in the assembly. I may not know who that is, but there is someone that is looking. When they attend, they are looking for you. So let me go back to my lesson. I'm still on the subject of prayer. A time to pray. Of course, as you're going to see in our lesson, there's always a time to pray. Sometimes seem more urgent than others. Such as Jim kind of mentioned today in his prayers. Christine made some supper for Bobby and Don this week, and Friday we went by to take it to him, and he said, "Come on in, Brian." He wanted me to, said from the porch, said, "Well, here it is." And I was just going to hand it or leave it. He's no, "Come in and give Bobby a word of cheer and have a prayer." Even though he's been in the household, and no doubt Bobby's heard him pray, but there was a time for prayer in that situation. Walking out the door of our house this morning, I saw Dick Shankey escorting his mom. They take a walk around. He just retired from Chula Vista Elementary School District. And his dad, Chuck Shankey, retired from Sweetwater. He taught at Bonita Vista history. And they're very feeble and aged. I just walk open the door, and Dick Shankey saw me and walked to his mom. He said, "Pray for me, Brian." I said, "I'll call your name this morning." Always a time for prayer, isn't there? If you didn't know it, in the news, November 1st of this year, today is International Day of Prayer. It's been an organization for the last many decades, calling on one just that we have a Thanksgiving Day to refresh our memory or remind us to be thankful. There's an international day of prayer. And I saw this article years and years ago. It goes back to from Reader's Digest 2009. So see, you know, some things I see, I can use that. And it was titled "Around the World with One Question." So around the world, there was a survey of people, not just religious people. Someone put out this survey. And the question is, how often do you pray? Well, if someone's going to poll me, and I want to make sure I answer correctly, probably no matter how often, I say, what's the right answer? So that's the one I'm going to choose. But said at least, well, over 60% of the people in Malaysia and the Philippines and India say they pray every day. They got the highest percentage of countries. Malaysia, Philippines, and India. The United States had 55%. So they were next in line. The country that prayed the least was the Czech Republic, 8% of the people. And they had an average, 65% of the Czech Republic answered, "We don't pray every day." So how, the question is, how often do you pray? Of all that the Bible has to say about prayer, in the New Testament, an established time for prayer is not stated. Now we have some suggestions of times for prayer in the Old Testament. David formed a time for prayer in Psalm 119, verse 164. "Seven times a day do I pray." That's pretty good. Seven times a day. In Psalm 55, verse 17, he said, "Evening, morning, and noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he will hear my voice." Daniel prayed. It's recorded in Daniel 6, verse 10. He kneeled down upon his knees three times a day, prayed, gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Three times. The Jews had set times for prayer. In Acts 3, verse 1, it's noted that Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. So there are many times in the Old Testament period that there was established times that people may stop and pray. The New Testament includes prayer as a way of life, and required times are not commanded. In Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end. All right, Jesus, what do you want to tell us in this story? He said that men ought always to pray and faint not. Just always. Well, how many times? Doesn't say. In Romans 12, verse 12, the phrase is continuing steadfastly in prayer. There's an expectation we're just going to continue. In Ephesians 6, verse 18, it says praying always with all prayer and supplication. It's praying always. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 just says pray without ceasing. So there's this expectation for us as Christians that prayer would be a characteristic of our life as we go about daily living. But I always wonder, in looking at that, why didn't God set a time or times for prayer for us? Why didn't God do that? Maybe it's because he's looking for us to seek times of devotion on our own, on a voluntarily basis. Perhaps, you know, without set times, it becomes a test of our devotion and not a performance of duty. There's just an expectation that God's people will pray. And maybe having set times would be a blessing for one, but a hardship to another. We look at our, well, oh, it's time to stop and pray. Well, I'm not ready to stop right now. It might be a problem with set times. Or having set times may make our prayer life a formality. Or it may just become a ritual. Oh, it's time to pray. Oh, right, let's stop and do that. Having done that, let's go back to business. But not to make a law, but just to offer encouragement, here are some suggested times for prayer in our lesson this morning. You know, in our hymnal, there's a section of prayer songs, starting with hymn number 761, and for the next 90 pages, there are songs that have to do with the theme of prayer. One of them is just titled, "Pray All the Time." It says, "The world has lost the right of prayer. Saints have failed to pray. What loss sustained beyond repair? How blind of heart are they when you don't pray?" The chorus is, "Pray in the morning. Pray at the noontime. Pray in the evening. Pray anytime. Pray when you're happy. Pray when in sorrow. Pray when you're tempted. Pray all the time." The second stanza, the Father speaketh in his word. He talks no other way. And to converse with him, our Lord, we must take time to pray. Third stanza, the last one. There is no trial, grief, or pain, no moment of the day, but that we may in Jesus' name incline our souls and pray. Pray in the morning. Pray at the noontime. Pray in the evening. Pray anytime. Pray when you're happy. Pray when in sorrow. Pray when you're tempted. Pray all the time. So let's look at just a few suggestions of opportunities or times to pray. Number one, obviously, pray in the morning. You know, that's a great start. We just get up and we begin our day. And remember when Jesus gave his instructional prayer in Matthew 6, verse 11. One phrase that he wanted his disciples to use was, give us this day our daily bread. So why not begin our day that way? God, I need you again today. Give me what I need. Daily bread. So I think it's an important time. We've had protection through the night. Hopefully beneficial rest. So let's ask for God's favor for the day ahead. In a poem, don't know who the author is. It says, I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled upon me. Heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. Well, I wanted to see joy and beauty. Oh, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, my child, you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. But God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. Well, I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. That's right. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, in the morning, a great while before day, Jesus rose up and went out and departed into a desert place and there prayed. Example of the Master. Gotta get up early before the daylight. Go pray. Number two, so number one, pray in the morning. Number two, pray at mealtime. And again, Jesus sets the example. In Mark 14, verse 19, remember the feeding of the 5,000, the 4,000, commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, took the five loaves and two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke, gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. Yeah. So before feeding the 5,000, let's stop and pray. They were hungry, hadn't eaten all day. Oh, but let's stop. Don't be in a hurry to eat. Let's stop and pray. In Matthew 26, verse 26, in observing the communion of the Lord's Supper, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to the disciples. Yeah. Pray before we eat. Apostle Paul on a ship bound for Rome in Acts 27, verse 35, said when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, they began to eat. You know, one of the first prayers we teach our children, or some parents do, you know, at that mealtime, God is great, God is good. Now we thank him for our food. I think poems ought to rhyme. So if you're going to say God is great, God is good, thank him for our food. Or God is great, God is good, now we thank him for our food. I didn't do well in poetry in the 10th grade. That was a hard subject for me. Art Linkletter had a book out years and years ago, Kids Say the Darndest Things. And there's a section in that book on prayer at mealtime that the kids say. And one of the things one boy or girl said when in their prayer, it's all vegetables. I'm not thanking God for that. Another one Art Linkletter wrote down, he says, the child said, it's leftovers. Didn't we thank God for that yesterday? I heard someone say, you know, when we pray, because we know there's going to be leftovers and something, God, we thank you for the food today and for tomorrow and the next day too. The same food. Pray at mealtime. Number three is pray in the evening. It's an appropriate time too. You know, we've been kept safe through the day. So now, God, keep me safe through the night. Keep me safe. Number four is pray when you're tempted. When you're tempted. Philippians 4, verse 6. Paul said, in nothing be anxious, or one other translation says, in nothing be troubled. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the God of peace, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. So when trouble comes, and it does come to all of us, some people find it difficult to pray. Some people, when they're in trouble, they run to prayer. But others, they say, I'm just in trouble. And they just grumble or gripe or just stew. But David said in Psalm 77, verse 4, and that may be your situation too. David said, I'm so troubled that I can't speak. We may get that way. We just focus on what we're going through. But when you find it hard to pray, I think we need to pray hard. That's the encouraging word. You know, I don't know who the author is. It says, God has not promised skies always blue, neither flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, or peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, and undying love. The promises of God. Right. When we're troubled, time to pray. James says in James 5, verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. So we pray when we're in trouble. Number five is pray before important decisions. In Luke chapter 6, again we have the example of Jesus, Luke 6 verse 12. Came to pass in those days that he, meaning Jesus, went out into a mountain to pray. Continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. And from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Before a decision. Even the Son of God. Jesus, I'm about to name 12 apostles. I'm going to spend the night in prayer. Our lives will be filled with decisions. I think, you know, not even when there's a decision, but I think when we're about to make a journey, you pray for a safe journey before you begin, before you leave the house. Or when you get into the car. When we were having our business meetings, we always began with a prayer. That our discussions would be peaceful and in a spirit of unity. We should pray before decisions that affect our personal life. pray before decisions that may affect the life of the congregation here. Pray before surgeries. We do that. And if successful, we pray after surgeries. We thank you. You know, when we met with Bobby, Donna Bobby, Friday evening, late afternoon, and, you know, there was included in that prayer was, you know, not thank you, God, for getting Bobby at least through it thus far, but continue to bless that medical staff. Give wisdom to their knowledge. Second Corinthians 3, verse 4 says, "And such trust we have through Christ to Godward, that we are sufficient of ourselves, or we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves." Our sufficiency is from God. That's right. That's the attitude that you and I need to have as we go about our daily living. We work, again, that phrase, we work as if everything depended upon us, but then we pray as if everything depended upon God. So we pray before important decisions. Number 6 is pray when you're tempted. 2 Peter 2, verse 9. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. I'm thankful for that phrase. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of the temptation. Well, they will feel that struggle. We'll feel that tug in our life every so often. Some more than others. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, God will not allow us to be tempted above that which we're able to bear, but with the temptation provide a way of escape, that ye may be able to endure it. So pray when you're tempted. God, get me out of this. When I was looking over my notes this morning, I said, boy, it seems like most of these are praying when there's heartache or trouble or situation, so I added a number 7, pray when you're happy. Pray when there's an occasion of rejoicing. Pray when everything's going well. But then I also mentioned prayer is not a substitute for obedience. In Acts chapter 10, the familiar example that we use, in Acts 10 verse 1, Cornelius. So there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. All right. What's significant about this man? He's a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. All right. A devout man. Okay. One that feared God with all of his house. Those are good things. Gave much alms to the people. Wow. Prayed to God always. Oh, he's a praying man too. Ah, but in a vision, the angel of the Lord told him to send for Simon Peter. And in verse 6 it says, "And he shall tell you what you ought to do." Let me refresh your memory on everything that I'm doing already. I'm a centurion. I'm of the Italian band. I'm devout. I fear God. I give alms and I pray. Wow. That's a lot. That's a handful of things that I already do. Surely God's okay with me. You think I don't have to make any changes? Oh, but it'll be told you what you must do. In verse 34 of the same chapter, then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." In other words, what's required of one person is required of another. In verse 48, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And so we make the same conclusion. We preach the same message. What God required of Cornelius, devout, prayed, almsgiver. Wow. But he had to be baptized. And all of us must come to God in the same manner. So that's the lesson. Pray all the time. But do not let your prayer be a substitute for obedience. If that's your situation, and in your relationship to God, We don't sing a song of invitation, at least right now, during the governor's guidelines. But you need to let that request be made known to someone, the one sitting beside you, or someone in the audience here. Me, well, I'm in the audience. But let that request be known. We can certainly honor it, if that's your desire, if that's your resolve. I may have one more lesson on prayer. Some of these lessons are giving me ideas for others. Of course, the lesson is you can't pray too much. But pray. You said if there's ever a time to pray, we have a sense of urgency about us, it seems, in our time. Of course, anytime someone's troubled, there's a sense of urgency. But the watchword is to pray. To pray. Dennis, evidently, you have the dismissal or closing prayer.